My friends in Christ, our readings for this weekend, the sixth Sunday of Easter, are focused in a very particular way on the theological virtue of love. So St. John the Evangelist will teach us in the New Testament that God is love. It's his very essence. He is love straight through. And St. John says to us in the second reading this weekend, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. And so we did nothing to ask for that or to deserve it. St. Paul will say in the New Testament, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so God's love for us is not something we can gain or earn. He simply loves us without exception, without limit. The love of God is unconditional. Friendship with God is not. Like any friendship, even on a human level, there are conditions. I can and should love those around me, even enemies, if we follow our Christian faith. But not everyone can be a friend. Jesus says in the gospel this weekend, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then he does it. So he does the very thing that he sets as a condition. He lays down his life for us, opening the door for friendship. But he goes on to say in the gospel, you are my friends if, and there's the condition, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And he concludes and says, this is what I command you, love one another. And so we love those around us, in the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, by willing their good. To will the good of the other is to love those around us in all circumstances. And there is no greater good you could will for another person than to desire that they know and love and follow Jesus Christ. It is the greatest gift you could give to another person because it allows them to enter into an eternal relationship with God. This is why we're created. It's why Christ forms the church, so we can share the good news of the gospel and change people's lives. It's happening in the Acts of the Apostles this weekend, in the exchange between Peter and Cornelius. To understand that passage, it's helpful to read the whole 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Could do that perhaps sometime this weekend. But Peter has a vision in which God reveals to him that the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, are not unclean. That God has a plan for them and that he should interact with them. No sooner does that vision happen when the friends of Cornelius show up on the doorstep and they ask him to come with them to encounter Cornelius, and Peter goes and he preaches the message of the gospel. That Jesus Christ came for us, he suffered and died on the cross, that he was raised from the dead. And Cornelius and his family believed it. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. And Peter said, what is to prevent us from baptizing them? Let's go all the way, right? Give them new life in the Holy Spirit. And Peter would be criticized for what he did. He was taking a tremendous risk in interacting with the Gentiles. It had not previously been done. But he loved Cornelius, and he loved God, who sent him to preach the gospel. Do you and I have that same love for those around us? I was going on vacation about 10 years ago, leaving Providence, and there was a man sitting next to me on the plane who kept looking over at me as if he was going to ask me a question. Eventually, the plane leveled off as we took off, left the airspace. And he said, "I'm sure you get sick of people that you don't know asking you questions." It wasn't an objective question he was asking. He was clearly looking for an invitation, which I immediately offered. I said, "I never get tired of talking to people that want to talk to me about faith. Never." And so he went on and said, I feel like I'm not always as faithful to God as I should be. He said, I'm not a Christian. I'm not baptized. But I believe in God, and I have a lot of questions. But I feel like the only time I go to God is when I want something. Do you think that's wrong?" he said. And I responded immediately and said, "Absolutely not. It's never wrong to go to God and ask Him for anything. In fact, you're not asking Him for enough." And he was perplexed by that. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, He wants you to ask Him for your family and help for them. He wants you to ask Him for a deeper relationship with Him and to know more about why He loves you and the plan He has for your life." And we continued the conversation until the plane landed, and clearly we had still more to talk about. So I said, "If you want, we can continue the conversation. We both get back to Providence if you'd like." And so it was, we got together at least four separate times over lunch to talk about questions about God, questions about the church, questions about faith. He eventually went on to take a job in the Southwest. I don't know if he was ever baptized, if he continued asking those important questions. But certainly I pray for that man by name every day, because we're called to will the good of the other, to will that they know God and come to believe in Him. That is what Christ wants from the church today. Jesus, at the conclusion of our gospel, says, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." Because the love of God is unconditional. He comes to us in all of our circumstances with love. But to be the friend of God, we have to will the good of the other and share the gospel message, so that we who have been chosen by Christ to be friends may bear great fruit.